My name is Dicho Angeloff. I'm 13 years old. Today is the 22nd of November, 2017, and I'm speaking with Sandra Close, who is a family friend. We were recording this interview in Riedel, California. So where is your family originally from?
My great-grandparents were born in Italy, and he was a poor person and she was from a noble family. So when they got married, her family disowned her. And then the war happened and my great-grandfather was in the Italian army, and it was very dangerous where they lived and their house was bombed. And so to flee from the war, they traveled to Brazil. That would have been my grandmother, my grandfather's older brother, and she was pregnant with my grandfather. And he was born in a tree house or tree hut in the jungle in Brazil, because they didn't have a lot of money and there were a lot of wild animals, so the only thing in the trees were snakes. She worked in her sugar refinery, and when the war ended, they went back to Brazil to find out their house had been bombed and destroyed. My great-grandfather traveled to America first, and he left his wife and the two children behind. And when he had enough money for them to come, they traveled to France and came on a steamship in 1912. They traveled to California by train and brought their jugs of wine and everything on the train and a big trunk. So all their belongings fit into one trunk. They went to Santa Rosa, California, and started an Italian restaurant. It caught fire and burnt down. They didn't speak English, so they traveled north to Humboldt County, where they could be laborers and work in the logging industry. And there was a man in Eureka, Mr. Adorni, that the Adorni Center is named after. And he helped all the Italians. He taught them English. He bought them insurance. He helped them get jobs. He found them housing. And he was helpful to all Italians. They lived in Scotia, California. And my grandmother, great-grandmother, was a very good cook, and she helped people that were like the boarders in the mill. And then Scotia Lumber Company didn't like that and said no extra people could live in their house, so they moved to Riedel. And in Riedel, it was kind of like the Italians. It was like the other side of the track. It was like the lower class people kind of would live, and that's where they lived. And it was all Portuguese and all Italians and not many other nationalities. And then the other side of my family would be my mother's side of the family. They were the pioneers, and they traveled about the time of the Donner Party. They started in Missouri, and they went westward to Texas, and then they kind of took the same trail as the Donner Party over the mountains and into California. And my grandfather was born in Blocksburg, California. He was a government trapper. And he traveled all of the farms, killing mostly coyotes and helping out all the sheep herders. And there was hundreds of thousands of sheep in Humboldt County at that time. And he was one of the first people to get sheep to, like, swim across the San Francisco Bay. And he traveled by horseback, and he did that his whole life. Now, my grandmother, she was a homemaker. She stayed home, canned vegetables, lived on the farm, and never went outside of work. There was like the Grange and things like that to keep her occupied, but there was no jobs. And the same thing with the Italian family. The women stayed home, they cooked, and they cleaned the house, and the men provided the work. As far as work goes, though, they were laborers, mostly in the mill, but also during Prohibition, they were bootleggers, and they had moonshine to sell and made money by selling whiskey, and they shared their wine press and did a lot of, you know, that kind of thing.
What town in Italy were they from?
We were from a little town called Pieve di Campio. It's in the northern Italy by Lucca. Okay.
And they went back to Italy to see your mother, or if they were, whose name was bombed?
Yeah. So it was very dangerous. And we, as like 15 years ago, went to see that area, and we met an Italian man who was a general in the army, and he explained that one area was bombed over and over and over, and that's the area where they lived. And you could see that the house had been partially replaced with more stucco, but there were no windows. There were just holes where like windows would be. And they were olive ranchers, so their only income was making olive oil or selling olives, and they were very, very poor.
When did your ancestors move to Humboldt County?
I'm not exactly sure, but I know that my grandpa came in 1912, and I think they only lived about 5 years in Santa Rosa, so about 1917. And it's interesting because after he got to Rio Del, he found out that the train that they traveled from New York had the same, had different people on it that lived in Rio Del, and they were on the same train, and really didn't know at the time, but later on they became dear friends and remembered their travels together.
What were their first occupations in Humboldt County?
Well, my grandfather, well, they worked in the woods, and then he was a cook at Fort Seward, and my grandmother was a cook at the Scotia Inn, because they used to feed a lot of the laborers that were single men at the Scotia Inn that worked for Pacific Lumber Company.
How was it like growing up in an Italian household?
Well, the men are dominant, and they like their ways, and the women are quieter. My mother was a wonderful cook. The Italian people are very, very good sauce makers and good cooks. And it's kind of a lively life. It's with lots of wine and parties and play a lot of music and piano and singing and saxophones, accordions. Very robust family.
Did you ever play any instruments?
I played the saxophone and I played the piano.
What was your first job or occupation?
My first job, well, when I was really little, I used to try to help. My mom and dad had a grocery store, and I would help customers. And I would bag up groceries and ring up their groceries, and I was pretty small. And then when I got a little bit bigger, I could help stock shelves, and I helped my mom and dad in their grocery store. And they had it for 21 years, and then they sold their store, and I went to work a different grocery store, and that's where I met my husband. And I was still going to college to be a teacher, and I worked part-time while I was attending school.
So could you go into more detail of how you met your husband, Wally?
Well, I met him because he was had the same job that I had. We worked together. And he was single. He had been married before, and I hadn't been married before, so that was very interesting for my family, especially my mother. And it worked out okay, but in the beginning, my parents were competitors of his parents, so our two families were really not friends with each other. And in the end, it turned out okay, and he asked me out on a date, and I wouldn't go out with him because I wasn't 21, so I made him wait till I was older. And then when I became 21, I went out on a few dates with him. In the meantime, I had worked there, gone away to college, came back, went back to work there, and then I ended up marrying him.
Going back a little, how would you describe yourself as a child?
At a very young age, I was very, very sick. I had a lot of whooping cough and croup, and I was very, very sick and in the hospital and really ill. And then I outgrew it about 11 years old. I had a pretty protective life. I had very caring parents, and my mother liked me to be active in crafts and painting and activities that I could do inside because I was sick a lot, so I couldn't do a lot of outdoor activities. And I did tap and I did ballet, and but I liked to play school, and I had a little room that was like a classroom in my house, and I pretended to be the teacher, and then I grew up to become a teacher.
Okay. What were your hobbies as a child?
As a child, I liked to do jigsaw puzzles, and I liked to play board games, I didn't like horses, and my parents raised racehorses, and I was terrified of them. But I did like to have a dog and a cat, and I wasn't allowed to have them at home because I was allergic to a lot of fur and things like that, so I had to keep them at my grandparents'. And they, in the, my mom's side of the family, they lived on a ranch, and so I could go out there and help with the gardening and do outdoor activities. I like to swing, and my grandpa made me my own swing and slides and stuff out of just getting pieces of rope and tying them to the cherry trees. And so I was outdoor in the summertime, inside in the wintertime. I would embroidery with my grandmother and help her make quilts. And
did your family bring anything, like a novelty item from Italy? And
the only thing that I think they could take on the steamboat, because when she came, the two boys were with her, and there was a third brother born in the United States, and they had a trunk that was about 4 feet long and about 3 feet high, and enclosed in it, my mother left it just as it was, so the contents were still there, and she brought her ravioli roller and some frying pans and some cooking pots. There really wasn't things like clothes. It was utensils to cook with, a big picture, like 12 by 20 wedding picture, and two children pictures that were on real special wooden frames. And when my parents' house was broke into, some of those items were stolen. But they were very special because you dress differently and you look differently. And so those were her prized possessions, some spoons that were different than what we have here. Those were the things that she packed into the trunk. And that's all I think they took with them.
You mentioned that they had a lot of cooking devices. Did they like to cook a lot?
They did. And my great-grandmother was a really, really good cook. And so when my dad was a little boy, and Italian people are very hard to please. They're very particular, and they like everything to be a certain way, especially in sauces and things like that. My dad would deliver raviolis around town in Riedel and sell them. And she was like one of the very, very best cooks. And I've learned how to make the raviolis the same way that she did. So I'm hoping that maybe at Christmas time I'm going to make some, and maybe Dicha will be able to learn how to make it. You cook the meat and you grind it with spinach and put it all together, and then you make the dough and then you roll it out, and I think that would be fun for him to learn. It's easier to do it now than it was for them because we have food processors and they had to do everything by hand.
Could you describe how Riedel was like when you were a child?
When I was a child growing up in Riedel, it was the main highway 101, and there was lots of bars, and there was like maybe 12 gas stations. There was a couple restaurants. There was clothing stores, feed stores, hardware stores. There was everything, a shoe store, everything you would need. But when the freeway went by in about 1975, I believe, it changed, and most of the businesses closed. But growing up as a child, it was almost all Portuguese and all Italian people. And now it's a lot of Hispanic people, and there are very few of the original, all the original Portuguese-Italian, they intermarried people not Italian or not Portuguese, and most have moved away, so it's totally different kinds of people. And when I grew up, or at least with my grandparents, there wasn't welfare, there wasn't food stamps. You worked and you made a living, and you live with money that you made and made it be enough for your family. So that's way different than today. And when I was little, most of the women did not work. My mother's generation worked, but my grandparents did not. And my great-grandparents never spoke English.
So I know that you have a sister. Could you describe her?
I had one sister, and she was total opposite of me. She liked to be building buildings and hiking and very outdoorsy. I was more in cooking and indoors. And she died of cancer at age 30.
Do you have any fond memories of your sister?
Well, my sister and I were complete opposites, so she would protect me if I needed help, but she had her friends and I had my friends. And we were 3 years apart in age, so we didn't really play together, but we would help each other if we needed to, but she never liked to do any of the things that I liked to do. And so I liked to read books and watch movies, and I was very restricted in television. I was only allowed to watch Captain Kangaroo. And when I was with my grandparents, I could watch the Walter Cronkite News and Lawrence Welk, because they believe that you should be outside playing in the summertime, getting fresh air. And there were no video games. There was nothing like that.
Would you say that your parents were more like your sister or you?
I think I'm kind of a combination of both my parents. I think I have a lot of my dad in me, and I'm kind of like my mom too. I'm a pretty good cook. I know how to do things like that. I'm not very good with direction. I get lost when I'm traveling. I never figure out if I'm going north or south, whereas my sister always knew where to go and how to get there, and I would look at a map and go the opposite direction. So I'm different that way, but I'm kind of both of my parents.
Could you describe your parents a little more?
My dad was very popular when he was in school. He was the song leader at Fortuna High School. He was born handicapped. He was born with a club foot, which means his foot was completely backwards and the leg was smaller. And being the Italian side, my grandmother was not Italian, and he was disowned by her family, like he wasn't made right because she wasn't fully Italian. So it was a challenge in our family, and my dad lived the first few years mostly in San Francisco at Shriners Hospital, and he knew all the cable car drivers and everything because he couldn't walk till he was probably about six, and he was very prouder. He didn't want people to know that about him. He was a poster child. No one knew that about him. But he excelled in sports, and he was like one of the best basketball players. They did not have football when he was in high school because somebody had been killed and it was not allowed as a sport. But he was really good in basketball. He was really good in baseball. He had a beautiful singing voice. He was very musical. And my mother was very popular in school. She was very book smart, whereas my dad was very social. And my mom, she was meticulous. When she grew up, she worked in a little restaurant down in Holmes Flat, and she would do hair, fix her aunt's hairs for like 5 cents or 10 cents, and she made tips at the little restaurant, and she kept track of everything. And then in high school, she also worked at the bank, and then after she quit the bank, she married my dad, and they had a grocery store.
Do you have any reflections of your grandparents?
Yes, my grandfather was very frugal, and he was the Italian one that was like, you don't spend any money unless you absolutely need to have something. And you just really live at home. You don't really go out to dinner. You don't go to shows. You very much stay at home. And my grandmother, she was, they got divorced after 17 years of marriage. And she moved away, and I didn't know as much about her. She was married more than one time. She was a good person, but I grew up more with my grandfather. And my mom's side of the family, my grandfather, being the trapper he was, he had all kinds of stories to tell and animal tales and all kinds of stuff. And then my grandmother was just like the Walton family. Everybody came to her house on Sunday for big chicken, fried chicken dinners and mashed potatoes and gravy. And they had lots of cherry trees and tomato plants and food, and people would come get vegetables. And it was just so, so pioneer family compared to the other side. They were complete opposites.
Can you tell me more about your family and trapping and hunting?
Well, my grandfather, his job was mostly to trap coyotes. And so he would have to take the hides from the coyotes and save them all and then mail them to Sacramento. And he was paid 50 cents, I think it was, for each coyote skin. And you're allowed so many. And every so often he could kill, say, maybe a bear, or he might kill a panther. In fact, they named Panther Gap after him that's out in the hills. There's one picture of my mother and her brother holding a panther across a mountain lion across the road from one end to the other, and that became called Panther Gap. But every old rancher knew him well, and he had stories he told me, and one that always stuck with me is he saved the pea from a coyote, and it was kind of related to like a dog. And then he had these white rocks that were about the size of a baked potato. And on a moonlight night, he would set the rocks out and they would shine in the moonlight. And he would put the pea by the rock. And then he would set his trap line next to that. And he would catch coyote after coyote after coyote, because of the territory instinct of the coyote wanting to put his scent where the rock was. And then when he was still like 80-something years old, they had him go out to Neyland to try to help fix the population, because the coyotes had killed so many of the sheep. But there's nothing, hardly any sheep compared to what there used to be. So he always hunt or would trap by horseback, and he had his hounds. And when I was really little, I could ride a hound like it was a horse, but he had about 12 hounds. And he always cooked a big pot of meal for him. And he had all kinds of traps, from a gopher trap clear to a bear trap.
Have you ever been to where your Italian ancestors were from?
We did go back to try to find the area where we think that they were from, but there's all different dialects in Italy, and when we went, my father was still alive and he spoke the most Italian, but it was hard to communicate with them because they talked very fast and it was a little bit different dialect, and there was no one living with the same last name, either the maiden name or the married name. It was the area where it was still farmers and olive trees and like that, but after the war happened, they lost all their land. And later on, I found whoever paid the taxes got to keep the land. And I knew somebody only by a first name. But when I talked to my great uncles and stuff, they were so happy to be in America. They never, ever had a desire to visit Italy, and they never went back, none of them. So when I went with my mom and dad and my husband, we went to the area, but there was no known ancestors left living there.
Did you travel a lot?
I traveled a lot with my parents. My mom and dad liked to travel a lot. And so we went on lots of cruises, and that was easier for my dad because he had a hard time walking. And we went to Europe, and he really loved train rides. And we went on lots of trains and traveled throughout the United States. He especially loved eating in fancy restaurants, and lots of trips to Hawaii and parts of the United States.
Is there any specific trip that you remember vividly?
When I was little, I remember my Yellowstone trip, mostly because I was in trouble with feet trying to feed bears. And it was, I remember just lots of the, like going through the desert, and there was no air conditioning in the car, and it was so hot, and it was just miserable driving through the desert. I remember that. And I remember going to fun places. Like, I loved Disneyland, and I had an aunt that lived very close by. So every year I went to Disneyland. And I loved Dumbo. I was in love with Dumbo. To me, he was a live flying elephant. And one year Dumbo was in repair, and I thought he had died. And you couldn't convince me that Dumbo was not alive. And I cried and cried and cried. There'd never be Dumbo again. And things like that. I have memories of that, but I also have memories of just, my parents picked a lot of fun places, always motels with swimming pools and things that kids would like. And so I had a very fun childhood.
Did you travel a lot after you moved out of your parents' house?
I traveled a lot with my parents because they really liked Wally, my husband, and I to go with them. So we traveled every year. We would go on cruises, and we went to Europe a couple times and a few times to Hawaii, and we went to Alaska. Never had a desire to go to Mexico, though. I went once with my husband to Mexico, but not with my parents.
Is there any, like, scary experiences that you've had on any of your trips?
Yes, my dad had heart trouble later in life and had a real hard time breathing in Switzerland because we were in very high altitude, and that was very scary because I didn't know. And he also fell down in Pisa. He was trying to run on the steps, and he slipped and fell and got hurt. And so there's been a couple scary times. But for the most part, it's been pretty safe. My husband had an airplane, and that was a little scary a couple of times traveling with him flying. But we lived through it.
What has been the favorite place that you've traveled?
I think my favorite cruise was going to Tahiti and going to Bora Bora. And it's very uncommercialized and beautiful crystal blue water. That would be one of my favorites. And I also like Hawaii and traveling with friends. That was a fun trip. I never did much camping and that kind of thing as a child. My father never liked camping, so we always went places where there was motels and restaurants and to see things.
How exactly did you get into education?
Well, I kind of thought I really wanted to be a pharmacist. That had a lot of interest in me. I was interested in medicine, but I didn't know if I was smart enough to do the math, and I didn't know, you know, how many years that would take, and I thought, well, I do like being around children, and I think being a teacher is something that I could do, and I could still live close to home, because I kind of grew up where you take care of your parents and didn't really move away. So that was a job that I could still do and still be with my family.
Now that you've had a lot of experience with multiple jobs, what would you say if you had to pick a job, any job, what would it be? What career or field?
I'd probably stay just where I am with teaching school, and I like being in first grade and a primary grade. A fun job that I had was JCPenney's when I was going to college, and I just absolutely loved my coworkers, but I didn't get paid it very much money, but I really liked the people I worked with, and it was really sad when I moved away. But then again, I liked the job that I have as a teacher, and I'm still doing catering. I have a catering business and no longer the grocery store.
How would you say the neighborhood that you've grew up in has changed since you were a child?
It's grown up with different kind of people now. There's a lot more like broken homes, and it's just not as neat and clean and tidy as it used to be. And the highway not going through the middle of Riadell makes a huge, huge difference. When I was little, my parents' grocery store was on the main street, so that was like Highway 101. And my mother never allowed me to be in the front part. The back of the grocery store was where we lived until I was 8 years old. And I had a backyard to play in, but never in the front because she was fearful of all the traffic because there was lots and lots and lots of cars. And then the school was bigger when there was more students when I was little. I'm part of kind of the baby boom generation, I guess. There was lots of classes, and in grammar school there could be 35 to 40 kids per class. In school was just different. There was a lot more respect for teachers, I think, growing up, and it's just a little bit different now. There was more like family games, more family time. We did things as a family more than what I see kids doing today. We didn't have like the soccer team, the little league team. There wasn't as much of that. There were neighborhood games to play, but not so much what you see today in schools.
Can you elaborate more and explain more about your parents' grocery store and your grocery store?
Well, when I grew up, it was wooden floors. There was, things were priced using grease pencils. And when I was really little, I was only like 2.5 feet tall. And my dad would put me inside of a toilet paper box and let me put the toilet papers on the shelf. And then he would come take me out of the box because I was too small to crawl out. So I remember helping do that. And then I was allowed to put out tomato soup and chicken noodle soup. And I had like 10 items that was my sections. And my parents let me tally marks and they gave me nickels for however many cases of goods I put on the shelves. And then it was all wooden shelves. And then later on there became pricing guns that were with ink cartridges. And then everything was all done mostly by hand. And my dad had a service meat counter and he had a lot of Italian customers and a lot of Italian products. And then when I went to work at the other grocery store, it was all together different. There were different kind of customers, different kind of food. The meat was all packaged for sale. They had gun markers with tape and stickers. And now it's all scanned. Nothing is done the way it was when I first worked there. And then everything is more computerized now.
Would you say you enjoyed working at and owning a grocery store?
I enjoyed working and having the grocery store and getting to pick and choose and have the different products that you'd like to carry. It's going away from that. The big box stores like Winco and Costco is taking away from the small mom and pop stores. I think it's a lot, you know, it used to be like in Europe, you'd go to the bakery and then you'd go to the meat market and then you go to the outdoor vegetable store. It's not like that anymore now. It's more now people are more price conscious and they want to go to whatever will be cheapest, and it's becoming more competitive and harder to be a mom and pop store.
What would you say is your favorite time in your life?
My favorite time in my life would probably be, I wouldn't say it was my wedding, but being married to my husband would be a favorite time. Not necessarily the wedding itself, but just being with him.
What is your favorite era?
My favorite era, well, growing up, I was daddy's girl 100%. I didn't want to be anywhere without my father. And my dad adored me and played games with me and made me always feel like no matter how tired he was from work, he always had time to play, go fish with me or do a puzzle with me or read me a book. And I really liked my mom, but my mom was more the rule setter and they know you can't do this and can't do that. My dad was more let me have whatever I wanted and just made me always feel like I was real important to him.
How would you like to be remembered?
I don't know how I'd like to be remembered. I think maybe remembered of trying to help children that need a lot of extra help in school and showing that I really care about them and want the best for them. Probably be remembered by being how I can help others. I tend to be like that. If I have good friends, that's more important to me than sharing time with them than whatever it is to have for myself.
Well, I'll remember you as being very kind and hardworking.
You were one of my best students.
Thank you. So I think that concludes our interview. Thank you for joining me, Sandra.
You're welcome.
This is being recorded in Rio Dell, California.
Any last words? One last word is Dicho is a very special student that I had, and I've been teaching school for 38 years, and in those 38 years, I could only name 3 students that have the integrity and that want to do well in school, and he is one of those 3 students. He's also one of the smartest students I ever had. There was another boy that I had that was equally did well in school, and I kind of followed him. He became a preacher, and I thought, oh my gosh, he's had so many good brain cells, but I guess religion was what he chose. But for Dicho, I want the best for him. I just like to tell the story about how well he did on the geography when he went down to Fresno. And there's those stories about him that make him extra special. And he's a really good student. And this was kind of fun to have this interview. But he's takes school seriously. And there's a group of children in this modern day that their behavior in being silly and goofing off is more important than what they can learn in school. So that's a big change over the years in teaching. I see that there's they're not all the same, more different now. You have real high students and very low students. And the very low students don't always have the support at home to be as successful as others. But anyway, it's been a good interview with Dicho, and I know he's going to do well whatever he chooses to do in life. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me, Sandra Cook.
You're welcome, Dicho.